ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Before I read verse, we'd like to welcome back Madhu Mangal and his wife from their trip to India. And Sunny and Neha want to introduce their new boy, Hari Bol. So they just came in and introduced their Kishore, Kishore in Gaur Nitai and Jagannath and Prabhupada's new servant. So this just gave him a name, first introduced to the deities. His name is Prahlad Charan. Hari Bol! So congratulations and one more devotee. It'll be a few months before he can wash pots for us, but till then. No, but he's very happy. Thank you for taking the responsibility of having it and bringing to this world another devotee that you can help. Okay. Iti shushruma nibandhanam tapa paramamasthitaha vidhatsvanantaram yuktam swayam tri bhuvaneshwara इति शुश्रुम निर्बंधम तप परममास्थितः विदत्स्वानंतरं युक्तं स्वयं त्रि भुवनेश्वर. Ladies, please. Iti, in this way, Shushruma, we have heard, Nirbandham, strong determination, Tapaha, austerity, Paramam, very severe, Asthitaha, is situated in, Vidhatsva, please take steps, Anantaram, as soon as possible, Yuktam, befitting, Swayam, yourself, Tri Bhuvana Ishvara, O Master of the Three Worlds. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of the three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever steps you deem appropriate. In the material world, a servant is provided for by the master, but is always planning how to capture the master's post. There have been many instances of this in history. Especially in India, during the Muhammadan rule, many servants, by plans and devices, took over the posts of their masters. It is learned from Chaitanya literature that one big zamindar, Subuddhi Raya, kept a Muhammadan boy as a servant. Of course, he treated the boy as his own child, and sometimes when the boy would steal something, the master would chastise him by striking him with a cane. There was a mark on the boy's back from this chastisement. Later, after that boy had by crooked means become Hussein Shah, Nawab of Bengal, one day his wife saw the mark on his back and inquired about it. The Nawab replied that in his childhood he had been a servant of Subuddhi Raya, who had punished him because of some mischievous activities. Upon hearing this, the Nawab's wife immediately became agitated and requested her husband to kill Subuddhi Raya. Nawab Hussein Shah, of course, was very grateful to Subuddhi Raya and therefore refused to kill him. But when his wife requested him to turn Subuddhi Raya into a Muhammadan, the Nawab agreed. Taking some water from his water pot, he sprinkled it upon Subuddhi Raya and declared that Subuddhi Raya had now become a Muhammadan. The point is that this Nawab had been an ordinary menial servant of Subuddhi Raya, but was somehow or the other able to occupy the supreme post of Nawab of Bengal. This is the material world. Everyone is trying to become master through various devices, although everyone is a servant of his senses. Following this system, a living entity, although servant of his senses, tries to become master of the whole universe. Hiranyakashipu was a typical example of this, and Brahma was informed by the demigods of his intentions. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. There's a famous story that many of us might have already heard. Prabhupada quoted on occasions. It's called Punar Mushika Bhava. First of all, Shravan, very nice to see you. Welcome back. Punar Mushika Bhava in Sanskrit, and in English it means again become a mouse. Punaha means again, Mushika is mouse, Bhava is to become. And Prabhupada narrates this story that there was a mouse that was being harassed by a cat. So he came crying to a sage, a sadhu who was meditating, and I think squeaked. And so the sadhu said, what's wrong? What's the problem? So in his squeaky language, he said to him that I'm being bothered by a cat, you know, constantly being persecuted. So the sage said, so what would you like me to do? Well, if you make me a cat, then I can, you know, I won't be harassed. No problem. He took some water from his water pot, sprinkled on the mouse, psh, and he became a cat. So cat was happy, went around, you know, did his feline things and all. After some days he came back. And I guess he now, whatever sound the cat makes, said in his sage was in his meditation, he goes meow, whatever. And the sage said, oh, what happened? Oh, the dog is bothering me. And if you can make me a dog, then I can bark at them and, you know, and I have my place. okay, sprinkled some water and made him a dog. So he went around barking and doing his, I guess, dog things. And some days later he came back again. And the sage was in meditation, he tried to get his attention. And then the sage said, "No, what's the problem again?" He said, "The tiger is bothering me. He's always on the prowl and you know, he kills all these animals. I'm afraid because he's been chasing me." So the sage said, "I'm assuming you want to become a tiger." "Yes, yes." "All right, become a tiger." And so he transformed into a tiger. And he thought that he will go away, but the tiger just stood there licking his lips. And the sage said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Breakfast. Oh, you want to eat me? Oh, yes, of course. This is what tigers do." He had not earned his stripes, as they say. He was given them by the mercy of a sage. So the sage became very upset that, "You rascal, you were a little mouse a few days ago. And by my mercy, you became a tiger. And now, instead of remembering that mercy, you're looking at me. Do you want to eat me up?" So he took water from his water pot, sprinkled on the tiger, and told him, "Punar Mushika Bhava," again become a mouse. Squeak, squeak, ran away. So by the mercy of a master, a servant can become very elevated. And by the mercy of that master, he can again become a mouse. Both are mercy. But it's important that we don't forget, that a servant should never forget their position as a servant. So Prabhupada is narrating the story of the Nawab Hussain Shah and his master when he was young, Subuddhi Rai. So this Nawab, by some political means and machinations and diplomatic behavior, became the Nawab. And when his wife saw a mark of a cane on his back, she became very upset. "My otherwise handsome Nawab has a scar on his back." And so she asked him, "How'd you get that scar? How'd you get that stripe?" He said, "Well, my master Subuddhi Rai gave it to me." So she became upset. "Oh, how dare this guy do something like that? My husband is the big Nawab. You should have him killed immediately." But this Nawab Hussain Shah, somewhere there was a little bit of gratitude in him. He said, no, he took care of me very well when I was young." She said, "Oh, but you have to do something. Why don't you convert him into a Muslim?" And in those days, the conversion was very easy because the so-called Hindu personalities were so strict about their religion that those Brahmins, if the shadow of an untouchable fell on the Brahmin, then the Brahmin would have to take a bath again. Just a shadow. Yeah. Or sometimes, even if they saw, while they were walking, if they saw an untouchable, what they call a chandala, then they have to take a bath. It was such a strict. So the Muslims, in order to break that, they came up with a very simple idea, that from their water pot, the water that they have drunk, they will sprinkle on the Hindu. And that Hindu would have to give up his religion because he's now touched by saliva of a Muslim. Finished, you know. The rest of the Hindus would ostracize. "Oh, you've been touched by the Muslim," like that. The same Nawab Hussain Shah is the guy who employed Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And his method with them was, he just didn't want to sprinkle some water and contaminate them, because he's an intelligent fellow. He knew that these two are so brilliant at administration, that he doesn't have to do any work. He just gets them to do all the work and he makes all the money. So he asked Rupa and Sanatan, "You please work for me." And it's very simple, please don't refuse, because if you refuse, I will systematically kill all the Vaishnavas, one after the other. Nothing much, just, you know, these are the consequences of saying no. So you please decide whether it's a yes or a no. So Rupa and Sanatan had to think hard. You know, we may lose our caste and become ostracized by the entire Hindu community. No one will talk to us, they will not invite us to their homes. No one will come to our homes, no one will come. They will not talk with us, they will not sit in the same place with us. They will say bad things about us. And we will lose the entire social structure that we have had and we have grown up. And by the way, for any human being, a social structure is necessary. Unless they've become sannyasis, because sannyasa, samyak nyasate iti sannyasa. Sannyasa means to completely give up. They break everything. Actually, in the olden times, the sannyasi would even break the Brahmin thread, everything. They would not wear Brahmin threads. They would not be with their family. Everything would be broken. All relationships. They don't need a social structure. But for everyone else, we need a social structure. Because without other social interactions, a human being doesn't feel fulfilled. And so this was, on the one hand, the risk that they had to take if they had to work for Nawab Hussain Shah. And then the other hand was that he would systematically kill all the Vaishnavas, one by one, for no reason. And so they felt that serving the Vaishnavas this way, by protecting them, protecting their lives, was worth losing their own caste, was worth becoming ostracized, was worth becoming insulted by everyone. It was worth it. So they did it. And the Nawab knew that's their character. If he had said to someone else, whether you take up this or I kill the Vaishnavas, a person who didn't have that kind of character would say, okay, so what? You're not killing me, you're killing the others. But he knew these people, that they come from a very, very background that has such strong character that they would not be able to tolerate the murder of Vaishnavas. So back to this point, Prabhupada says that in history, in the material world, he says in history there are many instances where a servant is plotting to take the position of the master. And one such is this Nawab Hussain Shah and Subuddhi Raya. Another is King Aurangzeb. His father, Shah Jahan, the guy who built the Taj Mahal. Aurangzeb felt that his father was not an effective king or emperor. And it would be a long time before Shah Jahan would die and Aurangzeb would become the emperor. So he came with a simple plan. He arrested his father, put him in some room somewhere, and enthroned himself as the emperor. And the only concession he gave his father was, from a window of his room, he could see the Taj Mahal every day. That's about it. And suddenly he crowned himself as the emperor. Do you know of other instances in history where such a... Kamsa dethroned his father, Ugrasena. Because he didn't like the way he was ruling. Kamsa felt that he had to rule by the stick. Any other examples? Do you know of any other example? Roman history, I think? I'm not so familiar. Well, in contemporary corporate situations, let's say, every time a person is at a position, they're always eyeing the position of their boss. In fact, one is trained to think that you have to plan your career in such a way that in 5 to 10 years, you're going to displace your manager. You're supposed to work in such a way that you take away that person's position. And that guy is, or she, he or she, is plotting to take up their superior's position. So it goes up the chain that way. They're always thinking how to displace that person and take on this. And while they're working together, this whole mentality that the servant is plotting to take the position of the master, plotting may be a strong word, but aspiring maybe. And it's there. And Prabhupada says that this is the indication that such a person is a servant of his senses, although he wants to be a master. Because the mind, in the Journey of Self-Discovery book, there's a beautiful statement. Prabhupada says that, I'm paraphrasing, one who wants to become a master of everything is actually a slave of his mind and senses. While a person who wants to become a servant of God becomes a master of his mind and senses. So everyone needs to become a master, but the question is, a master of what? One is supposed to become a master of their senses. That's why they are called Maharaja. We address the sannyasis as Maharaj. There's a reason. Raja means the king who has control. Maharaja means the powerful king, the great king. So Maharaj means a person who has been able to control his mind and senses. In this whole pastime, Prahlad has only one message for Hiranyakashipu. My dear father, you have controlled the entire 14 planetary systems. By the raising of your eyebrow, the demigods are shivering. Whatever you like, you can get. Not only that you can get whatever you want, you have the capacity to enjoy without limit whatever comes to you. See, none of us has that ability. Suppose we get our favorite food, whatever that is, and a big quantity of it. We can only enjoy this much of it. We can't enjoy the whole thing. Suppose we get a lot of money. Suppose someone gave us $1 billion. We would be finding it very difficult to figure out what to do with that money. We don't know how to handle it. It's nice in one sense, Krishna keeps it tight. Because we don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do with $1 billion. Our mind becomes completely disturbed by, I have $1 billion. Because immediately the mind will be working. How to make it 2 billion? How to increase it? Should I spend it here? Should I spend it there? I'll give some charity to Krishna, whatever. We can't enjoy. We don't have the capacity. Hiranyakashipu had the capacity, sensory power to such a degree that he could enjoy without becoming tired. Our senses become tired when we enjoy. Whether it is running, eating, or smelling something, or hearing something, we do become tired, right? This is what is Rupa Goswami's description of Chapala Sukha or Bhogatyaga, that after some time, the same thing that we are enjoying becomes, we need a break. I'll do something else. If it is a particular song, we hear it again and again and again, and then we say some other song. We wait for the next popular single or album to come out. We don't have, the senses are limited in that sense. Hiranyakashipu didn't have that problem. He had such power that he could keep on enjoying his senses without becoming tired. And not just one, all 5 senses were fully active and powerful. So there was nothing like bhoga tyaga for him. There was no tyaga. It was all bhoga. Aham bhogi, ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan sukhi. We heard it yesterday. Balavan, I'm very strong. And because I'm strong, I can enjoy the senses like anything without becoming tired, sukhi. And Prahlad's point was, yes, you have all of this, but you're not able to control the very mind that is right with you. You can't control your own mind and senses. You can control everyone else, all the living entities within the three worlds. You're able to control except your mind. And that bothered Hiranyakashipu the most. What? How can you speak like that? How dare you speak like that? You're a little fellow, a boy, mere 5 years old. How dare you speak like that to me? And his son was exactly the opposite. But here his mind was completely controlled. How do we know Prahlad's mind was completely controlled? He, in all of the ways that Hiranyakashipu tries to hurt him, kill his own son, his mind was not disturbed that, hey Krishna, what's going on? You know, one time you put me under the elephants, that's fine. But you know, every day there was a new thing going on. Oh, tomorrow, hot oil. Third day, in a pit of snakes. Fourth day, being pierced by lances. And another day, you know, pit of deadly snakes. Another day, something else. Another day, something else, pushed off a cliff. It was just non-stop harassment. And not by some outsider, by his own father, who had named him, my dearest boy, Prahlada. Khlada means pleasure, and Prahlada means intensely pleasing. On one hand he calls him intensely pleasing, on the other hand he wants to murder, butcher him. And Prahlad was not even this much, like atomic level of resentment towards Krishna or his own father. Okay, he didn't have resentment towards Krishna, that's understandable, he's a devotee. But he didn't have resentment, this is an important point, he didn't have resentment even upon the instrument by which Krishna was working, or through which Krishna was working. He didn't have any resentment at all. Generally we understand, it's our experience. If you want, I would advise that you take up the service of being a mentor. And you will see how people really can get disturbed by the instrument. Try to mentor someone. Krishna may be working something, but the instrument through which it happens, oh boy. So my friend told me that actually we call it the mentor-mentee relationship. My friend told me actually it's tormentor. You put a T-O-R in front, your tormentor, and mental relationship. Tormentee. Mental. Try to mentor someone and see how it is. Oh boy. It's not easy. It teaches a lot of lessons to become humble, no doubt. But the degree to which you can be misunderstood is just amazing. Not all experiences. I mean, I have some wonderful experiences as well. The love that you receive is just amazing. But there are some really interesting experiences. Because in our own lives, whether we have a mentor or not, the instruments through which Krishna reaches us, we usually blame the instrument, or we have something against the instrument, a resentment. But in most cases, those are just means by which Krishna is reflecting something that exists in our hearts. But it's always easy to look there and not look here. Sometimes the problem is there, no doubt. But the what separates a person, as they say, a man from a boy, is a devotee from one who's not, is how they see things in the world, their vision of what's happening around them. I've been reading Haridas Thakur's life. Prahlad Maharaj manifested as Haridas Thakur in Chaitanya Leela, and Lord Brahma, of course. Lord Brahma and Prahlad together manifest as Haridas Thakur. And when Haridas was beaten, we're talking about having a mark of a cane on his back, right? Haridas was whipped by two really muscular, huge guys. And how muscular was Haridas Thakur? What do you think, Jordan? He was like Arnold Schwarzenegger? No. In the early days, when Srila Prabhupada had asked, it's a little digression, in the early days when Srila Prabhupada had asked the devotees to paint Narada Muni, they painted, because Prabhupada told them that Narada is the transcendental spaceman, because he can go anywhere at will. So they painted Narada Muni with a veena and huge biceps and triceps and, you know, a V-shaped body, six-pack abs with a veena. And Prabhupada chuckled and said, "This is not Narada Muni. Narada is very gentle, very fragile body. Very strong, but very fragile body." This is how, when Krishna and Balaram, they appeared in Mathura. From afar, the message came that Krishna and Balaram have come. They're little boys. They're little boys who had entered Mathura. And so Kamsa's plan was, even before they come to the wrestling arena, we'll finish them off. And so he sent Kuvalyapida, the big, mad elephant. Nowadays, Kali Yuga elephants are shorter. Because in Kali Yuga, everything becomes shorter and shorter. There was big elephant with massive tusks. And Krishna and Balaram, they looked so feeble and little boys, you know, not like muscular. And so, very easily, they killed Kuvalyapida. So the news went to Kamsa. Kamsa was like, "How can two young boys, no problem. I have these four brothers, Chanura, Mushtika, and I forget the other two names. The four brothers, anyway, they meet them in the wrestling arena." And if you had seen our drama here, Mukunda was Balaram, Ankit was Krishna, and Raghav was Chanuraka, I think. And Tamal was Mushtika, or one of them. So if you see Tamal and Raghav, they have big, you know, nice muscles. So when Chanuraka and Mushtika, they were so big, huge, what's that called? Ripped body. And Krishna and Balaram were like this little kids here. And so Chanuraka and Mushtika just started laughing. "Kamsa, what is this? Two little boys to fight with? We can easily break their spine with our left hand." But when Krishna and Balaram fought with them, Chanuraka and Mushtika couldn't figure out where the strength was coming. They're so strong. Krishna is the source of all strength, right? This is one of his opulences. So a devotee is always very strong, although their body looks very fragile. In the life of Srila Prabhupada, we can see, if you ever see Prabhupada's picture without a shirt, you can see the ribs, you can see the shoulder bones pop out. Very fragile body. But you ask the devotees who used to massage Prabhupada's back every day, and these are young American or Western men, they all look very muscular, and they would massage Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would be like, "Harder, a little bit more." For an hour and a half, and their fingers would be tired like anything, and Prabhupada would be just smiling and dictating letters. Very strong. So Haridas Thakur was also very, very, but with so many whippings, nothing happened. The fellows who were whipping him were wondering, "What is this? Most persons, after five whips, they're dead. And we've been whipping you in 22 marketplaces. You're cool. You're as cool as a cucumber. What's going on?" Haridas was not like, "Ouch, ouch." He was blissfully chanting Hare Krishna. And he didn't have no marks on his back. Later, When Lord Chaitanya manifested in the world, he showed Haridas Thakur the marks on his back. He said, I took all those beatings for you because you were calling out my name. And at the same time, you were ardently praying that I don't do anything to those two fellows who were whipping you. So I felt very stifled that my devotee is being whipped and I cannot tolerate it, but you were constantly praying that nothing happens to them. So Haridas Thakur didn't have any resentment, either towards Krishna, towards the Qazi who ordered it, that he be whipped, or towards the fellows who actually whipped him. No resentment. Haridas Thakur didn't say, hey, I chant 192 rounds, more than anyone in Nadia. In the whole of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, I chant more rounds than anyone. And not once in a while, every day. I live so simply. I share, my roommate is a deadly poisonous snake. How much more austere do you want me to get, Krishna? I even became from Muslim to Vaishnav. And this is what I get? Whipping? No resentment, even a little bit. When they asked him, you're such a great Vaishnav, how is this possible? What was Haridas Thakur's answer? I may have heard the blasphemy of a devotee somewhere, so it's befitting that I get it. So it's the vision with which one sees the world. One sees what's happening around. So Vaishnava is one whose vision is always that he sees Krishna's hand in some way, that he is able to glorify Krishna somehow or the other, even in the most adverse of situations. And especially the resentment towards the instrument is never there. And that is something for us to practice and learn. Because the natural tendency is to resent the instruments of, we say, the instrument of my karma, the instrument of my purification. We use the word purification in a very interesting way. In our whole Krishna consciousness movement, there are two words that have ubiquitous utility. You can use in any circumstance. One word is purification. We use it in all circumstances and it means many things. Usually purification means that which is unwanted is removed and that which is wanted is magnified. But whenever we are in difficulty, we say, I'm being purified by Krishna. We don't know what that means. It generally connotates, I'm having difficulty. I'm being purified by Krishna. Purification is very intense. Another is Haribol. We use Haribol for all purposes. We want to call some devotee, Haribol. We are in difficulty. Today my life is totally Haribol. We are very happy, Haribol. We are upset, Haribol, Haribol. A wife wants to call her husband, Haribol. A husband wants to call his wife, Haribol. When things are going wrong, today everything is Haribol for me. It has all sorts of, you can be angry at your kid or another devotee, say, Haribol, can you not listen, Haribol. All emotions can be conveyed through one word, Haribol. It's like that, word purification. But within that are all the emotions. But the point here is that the servant always remains, should always remain a servant. I'll end with this. When finally at the end of this Leela, Narasimhadev appears and he asks Prahlad Maharaj, whatever benediction you want, you please ask. I am so pleased with you, I'll give you anything you want. And Prahlad Maharaj's prayers is in the 9th chapter of this canto. He makes a beautiful statement. He says, my dear Lord, what kind of a master is he who wants to give something material to his servant? And what kind of a servant is he who wants something material from the master? I only pray that our relationship eternally remain like this. You are the master and I am the servant. I don't want anything more than this. Mama janmani janmanishware bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. I just want to be the servant of the servant. I don't want anything more than this. I don't want to change the dynamic of our relationship. Now that you're happy with me, when you say, what do you want? This is what he's going to do. And contradictory to this is Hiranyakashipu. When Lord Brahma will come and say, what do you want? He says, I want your post. I want to become immortal. And Lord Brahma says, even I am not immortal. When his son was asked, what do you want? I only want to be a servant. And that is the crowning glory. That in all, so this may not be life project, or someday I'll become a master. But the point is, in every circumstance, we're being asked to practice, because we're in sadhana stage, we're asked to practice being a servant. How can I serve either this person, or how do I serve Krishna in this circumstance? It is what a devotee is supposed to remember and practice. How can I be a servant? That should be our reflex thought. How can I be a servant in this situation? In our GBC college thing, I'm supposed to finish some assignments by midnight today, which doesn't look like I'll be able to, but I have. And we're discussing Vaishnava Sadachar, which I think would be a very, very nice topic to share with all of you. There are 8 classes on Vaishnava Sadachar. Sadachar means good behavior of a devotee. It's the etiquette of a Vaishnava. And one of the items of that Sadachar is correction. And we're being taught by Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj. And the assignment is about correction. Have you ever, this is one of the questions I have to work on, have you ever reacted and corrected someone without proper thinking and planning and considering how best to serve that person? Have you reacted to correct someone? And the opposite was, are there circumstances where you've actually contemplated what best, how best to correct someone so they feel uplifted? And they want us to give situations of both. So in the first one, no problem. Latter, I'm struggling, I guess. Generally, I'm the type who doesn't say quickly. At least I've learned that. They don't say things quickly. In some cases, it's a good thing. In some cases, it's a weak thing for me. That I should say and I don't. Because I have the tendency to be quiet and observe it happening multiple times before I will say something. But it's been a challenge for me. So I really liked the questions because I have to think about what does correction mean and how to administer it if given my service and how a leader should correct. So once my course is over, I was telling Hemangi the other day, I would like to do that with all the devotees, if I can. That's very nice references of Prabhupada's letters and all that. Anyway, any comments or questions or Mukunda, Jai Baladev?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
If somebody comes to me and is either causing me difficulty or offending me or something, then it's one thing for me to see that, like, okay, this is obviously Krishna acting through this person in some way to correct me or something. So that's all right. But, I mean, that,
if course, you can get
that's,
there.
Of course, that's difficult. Yeah.
My obeisances to you.
That's difficult. But what to speak of, I was just thinking, what if somebody's, you observe someone causing difficulty or harm to another devotee. It's a different situation. You can't exactly say, oh, just let it be because this is the same thing's happening to that person that was happening to me. So, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
like,
what? Well, we are asked to tolerate minor offenses and correct major offenses. So now the question is, what is a minor offense? What is a major offense? So the Vaishnava standard apparently is, so I don't have realization of it, I'm repeating what I've heard. So the Vaishnava standard is, all offenses committed towards us are minor offenses. And whatever is committed towards another devotee or a living being are major offenses. Generally our definition is the other way. All committed to others is minor. Even the smallest thing said to me is the major offense. Me? I am Vaishnav. Do you know? You will go to hell for speaking like that to me. So let me give you my mercy. I'll forgive you. When we see other living entities or other Vaishnavas, we are supposed to respond to it. Depending upon our realization will be our response. If our realization and devotional strength is such that we can intervene and correct it, we should correct it. And the lowest is we should leave the place. I think there's another alternative. You should give up your life. But we usually go operate between the other two. You should leave the place or correct it or do something about it. And it requires some maturity to know how to respond to it. But something should be done. Krishna will not allow us to just sit there and do nothing about it. We have to demonstrate to Krishna that I cannot stand the offense to another devotee or a living being. So we either leave or do something. We don't say, oh, just the instrument of their karma. It may be. And it takes a little Krishna consciousness to figure out how best to address the victim in one sense and the perpetrator in another way. But something is required as a devotee to do. But if you can get to, if someone's doing something to me and I can see Krishna's hand in that, you've gone way ahead of us. So that's wonderful. No, I'm being a little funny. Go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. This is related to the verse of today of people who covet high posts, you know, who want a particular post. So this reminds me in the Lilamrita, the chapter entitled I Have Done My Part. Prabhupada mentions that at the end of his life, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was kind of disgusted at his leading disciples for, you know, bickering over different posts. And presumably they were thinking their devotional adhikar or qualifications superior than, you know, others. So they were kind of fighting over different posts. And so this brings to mind one question Lakshmi Moni Mataji asked in November at one seminar. She asked, who is a pure devotee? And of course, no one raised their hand because you can't, you know, who's the judge? And so my question is, on what basis does one discriminate between the different adhikars or qualifications of different devotees? Because we hear pastimes like Jaya and Vijaya who discriminate against the four Kumaras in a bodily conception of life. And they were cursed with demoniac consciousness, which ultimately results in uncontrolled mind and senses. So I just want to discriminate without creating a Vaishnava aparad, which, you know, results in uncontrolled mind and senses.
Without Krishna consciousness, one cannot. One of the assignments we have is one of your favorite pastimes of Bhrigu Muni. Now, Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they became upset and reacted to Bhrigu Muni. Now, we can't say that Brahma and Lord Shiva have uncontrolled senses. They're great personalities. But the situation manifested like that. Another assignment was about the Kumaras in Jaya and Vijay. Who made the mistake? And interestingly enough, when Lord Vishnu comes out and speaks to the Kumaras, he speaks in such a way that although the Kumaras are considered to be the Shaktivesha avatars, the empowered personalities of his Jnana Shakti, they're so knowledgeable. So Jnana doesn't just mean that they know shlokas, that they have the ability to discern, be analytical to such a degree that even they were bewildered. Is he appreciating us or chastising us? They couldn't tell. The Kumaras couldn't tell. Because the Lord was speaking in such refined ways that the persons who were Krishna's Jnana Shakti empowerment were like, is he chastising us? Is he appreciating us? So we can't say Jain Vijay did this, we can't say I did that. But from afar we analyze that how come neither the Kumaras nor Jai Vijay explained their situations. Jain Vijay did not say, please wait, the Lord is, you know, you cannot go right now, or maybe take a message for the Lord, nothing. And the Kumaras also did not ask them, hey, what's the problem? What's going on? There was no clarification. They said, don't go, they got punished. But there are so many other factors operating there. Lakshmi Devi wanted a little correction for Jain Vijay. Jain Vijay wanted to fulfill the Lord's chivalrous desires. There's so many other things operating there. And Krishna used the Kumaras as the instrument for the curse, etc. Okay, so all that, you know, it's too much to discern. On a at the ground level in our daily life, there are certain symptoms of devotees that we get a sense of, okay, they're... But we don't, like Maharaj was answering your question there, it's the same question. We don't take a bhakti meter and get their readings that, oh, today you're a Madhyama, very good. Or yesterday you were Kanishta. There are these behaviors, a certain development of faith that characterizes their standing in devotional life. For example, a Kanishta is only about the deity in a temple. We cannot see Krishna manifesting elsewhere. Or Madhyama is the four characteristics. Right? Ishvareta dadhineshu. How do you know a Madhyama? There are these four characteristics. Prema, Maitri, Kripa and Upeksha. And we are meant to also manifest it that way. Prema, he has love for Krishna. Maitri, he has friendships with the devotees. Kripa, he is very merciful to the innocent. And Upeksha, he neglects or keeps the atheists away. Because that's how his faith is. He makes those distinctions. And if a Kanishta behaves like an Uttama, what happens? Oh, it's all right. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is soul. There is no distinction. The Kanishta will fall down. I mean, he's already fallen. The other day, Jitendra Prabhu was up on the scaffolding. And the twins, Shyam Sakhi and Shyam Gopi, I won't imitate their voices, but they asked Jitendra Prabhu, oh, Jitendra Prabhu, can we climb up the scaffolding? Do you think we'll fall down? And Jitendra Prabhu's wonderful answer was, we're already fallen down. So a Kanishta, when you have to understand our adhikar, we should know, or someone should tell us. Now, for example, for a Kanishta, the most valuable thing to keep their sadhana going, the most valuable thing is what? Do you want to guess? Regulation. You break regulation, you're done. Go to bed early, wake up early. Eat on time. Not like one day 9, one day 10:15, one day 3 o'clock in the afternoon, one day I'm fasting today, next day I'm eating 6 times a day. A Kanishta who breaks regulation falls down. A Madhyama doesn't have to follow regulation necessarily. They can break it, still develop their faith. But if a Kanishta behaves like a Madhyama, they're finished. So the most important thing for us is the reason we find difficulties in our spiritual life. Now I'm speaking to the audience sitting here, which I know sometimes is there, not there, there's a regulation problem. The biggest problem in life for a Kanishta is bad regulation. You become strict about regulation, and Krishna says, Yogo bhavati dukkha. One is relieved of material miseries. This is a very important shloka. One who is tempered in his eating, sleeping, work and regulation. For example. So when you see a Kanishta follow nice regulation, you know, that's he or she is happy in general or free of distress. So there are some symptoms like that. But it's not our business measuring others up. Okay, any other final question, thought? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Do you have an announcement about cut up?